This is your tech news briefing for Thursday, August 11th. I'm Zoe Thomas for The Wall Street Journal. Samsung revealed the latest versions of its foldable phones yesterday. For the last few years, the world's largest smartphone maker has been betting that foldables will take off, even with their big price tags. But consumers have been slow to take up foldable devices, and now more competitors are entering the space. On today's show, our personal tech reporter Dalvin Brown joins us to discuss why, despite making up a small percentage of the cell phone market, Samsung and others see foldable tech as important to the future of our devices. That's after these headlines. Disney last night reported a better-than-expected jump in revenue of 26% last quarter. In a call with investors and analysts, CEO Bob Chapek cited record results at its domestic theme parks, big increases in live sports viewership, and subscriber growth at its streaming services. Disney Plus, the company's flagship streaming platform, added nearly 14.5 million new subscribers last quarter, beating analysts' expectations. Nearly all of them came from outside of North America. The company now says it has about 221 million total subscriptions across its streaming offerings. Regulators are pulling more than $2 billion in federal funding from SpaceX and a small internet provider after determining neither company was likely to meet the federal requirements for expanding rural broadband access. SpaceX's Starlink and Las Vegas-based LTD Broadband were the biggest recipients of grants for the project known as the Rural Digital Opportunity Fund. But the funding was conditional on the company showing they could fulfill the terms of the program. A SpaceX spokesman didn't immediately respond to a request for comment. The CEO of LTD said the company was disappointed and that it's reviewing its next steps. SoftBank says it will sharply reduce its stake in Alibaba, unloading $22 billion in shares of the Chinese e-commerce company, which has been one of its most successful bets. The move will help the Japanese tech investor preserve cash as it rides out a severe downturn. SoftBank CEO Masayoshi Son said this week he regretted an investment spree that led to the firm's $23 billion loss in the latest quarter. With the sell-down, SoftBank says its stake in Alibaba will drop from over 23% to about 14% by the end of September. Speaking of share reductions, Elon Musk has sold nearly $7 billion of Tesla stock in recent days, according to new regulatory disclosures. In a tweet on Tuesday, the Tesla CEO suggested the moves were aimed at avoiding a fire sale of the electric vehicle company's stock if he's forced to buy the social media company Twitter. Neither Tesla nor Musk responded to a request for comment. More than one in three teens in the U.S. say they are chronically online, according to a new survey from Pew Research Center. That number has nearly doubled since 2015. Platforms prize young users since they present long-term business opportunities and are coveted by advertisers. But our reporter Sarah Donaldson says the teens surveyed say they see a downside to heavy social media use.
More than half of them said giving up social media platforms would be challenging. And teen girls were actually more likely to echo that sentiment. And a third of teens said that too much of their time is used on social media apps and websites. So generally, that definitely touches on some of the conversations happening in different tech policy spheres right now as social media parent companies introduce and expand parental controls on their platforms and federal and state legislatures look at different sorts of regulations.
Among the other findings from the survey, YouTube was the most popular platform, with 95% of teens saying they use the site. Two-thirds say they use TikTok. Instagram and Snapchat were also popular, while teens' use of Facebook has plunged. And the world's biggest assembler of smartphones, Foxconn, says demand for consumer electronics is slowing. The company's chairman said yesterday that inflation, the pandemic, and the evolving geopolitical situation, including growing concerns over China's stance toward Taiwan, where Foxconn is based, all pose risks to the market. The company did report a 12% jump in revenue for the past quarter to just over $50 billion, and similar growth in profit, thanks to solid demand for smartphones and cloud devices. But it warned the smartphone market could remain flat this year, as customers curb their discretionary spending. Speaking of smartphones, Samsung is optimistic customers will be willing to spend on its latest foldable phones. But how do hefty price tags and slow uptake so far fit into that calculation? We'll discuss on the flip side.
Dad, I picked up your pills, made your lunch, and your laundry is done.
When you care for a loved one, you take care of everything. But are you taking care of yourself? Find free care guides at aarp.org/caregiving. Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
On Wednesday, Samsung revealed the latest versions of its foldable smartphones. The Galaxy Z Fold 4, which becomes the size of a small tablet when opened, and the more compact Galaxy Z Flip 4. For customers who may be growing weary of how connected they are to their devices, the company has a pretty simple pitch. Here's Kim Swanson's from Samsung's marketing and sales team at Wednesday's launch event, describing the perks of foldable phones.
They change smartphone behavior, shifting how we use our devices and giving us more control over what we're doing in the moment. When you open your phone, you can really immerse yourself in focus. And the simple act of closing your device signals to your friends that they have your undivided attention.
But they also have drawbacks compared to other smartphones. Their screens are more delicate and their price tags are hefty. Still, Samsung isn't the only company betting that foldables are the way of the future. Joining me to discuss why is our personal tech reporter, Dalvin Brown. Hi, Dalvin. Thanks for joining me.
Thanks for having me.
So let's start with kind of why Samsung does think more consumers are going to want to buy their foldable phones. What changes has it made to make these phones, these new generation of their foldables, more appealing?
Yeah, so 4 years after launching its first foldable, Samsung's new devices look a lot like the old ones from the outside, but what's been changed is the ruggedness. So Samsung really focused a lot of attention on the crease that's created when opening and closing its foldable phones. There's also a panel that protects the screen, and Samsung attached it with a better adhesive so that it wouldn't peel off as it has in previous models. So really, Samsung focused primarily on the durability of these new devices.
Okay, so this is the fourth generation of the phone. They're improving durability, but how have sales been so far? And I guess how is Samsung expecting them to be?
Yeah, so Samsung says that foldables are here to stay and is doubling down on them. Consumers have been buying these phones more and more each year. Last year, Samsung's foldables were the most popular foldable devices in the globe, but Samsung is also the largest smartphone maker. But it's also important to put those numbers into context. So foldable phones represent less than 1% of overall smartphones in the market today. And so while they are becoming more popular among a subset of users, they're still just a drop in the bucket in terms of like overall smartphone sales.
What about the competition for making it? I mean, you mentioned that Samsung was the biggest seller of foldables, but is it the only one?
Samsung is not the only one. There are some other notable names. Xiaomi, Oppo, and Lenovo's Motorola also have foldable phones. And Apple holds patents for foldable phones. So there may be one in the future.
So right now, Samsung's Fold and the Flip, they both have pretty steep price tags. Is competition going to affect that?
Yeah. So just like with ordinary smartphones that we're all familiar with, foldables are expected to come down in price over time. Samsung initially launched its Fold at $2,000, and that price has dropped about $200 since then. Its Galaxy Z Flip has dropped by $380 since its first launch. So we're expecting prices to continue to fall. Some analysts told me that they expect that foldables will always be premium, so we may never see a $400 foldable just because the parts and components are so expensive. But also, as the price comes down, more consumers may be interested in purchasing one.
Why bother with a foldable? I mean, I can understand that for a user, there's this kind of nice convenience of having a slightly smaller phone when you want it to be small and bigger when you want it to be bigger. But from the maker's standpoint, this seems complicated. It's expensive. You've got to get people to shell out a lot more money to buy them. Why bother going this route?
Well, if you look at it, most smartphones look the same today. They are black glass boxes with a couple cameras on the back. And year after year, that's what consumers get. So what smartphone makers are looking to do is break away from that and differentiate themselves from the competition. And so what foldable phones do, or more flexible screens do, is they allow companies a chance to create something new that consumers haven't seen and to put their own spin on it.
Okay, but when do these foldables become fixtures of the market? I mean, when is this actually going to change kind of the broader smartphone market and not just be something that Samsung is offering?
Yeah, so analysts that I spoke to said that foldables may never overtake the bar-shaped smartphones we're all accustomed to today, but they do speak to something larger, which is just like creating more nimble screens or maybe even rollable screens that pull out from a device and allows you to sort of double the space of your phone without having to add a hinge to it. So they may never be as popular as the devices that we're familiar with today, but they are certainly picking up in popularity and a subset of consumers are noticing.
All right, that's our personal tech reporter, Dalvin Brown. Thanks for joining us, Dalvin.
Thanks for having me, as always.
And that's it for today's tech news briefing. If you want more tech stories, check out our website, wsj.com. And if you like our show, please rate and review it. You can do that wherever you get your podcasts. I'm Zoe Thomas for The Wall Street Journal. Thanks for listening.
Welcome to Free Expression, a new podcast from The Wall Street Journal with me, Jerry Baker, editor-at-large of The Wall Street Journal. It's a podcast in which we're going to be trying to do something a little different, dig a little deeper into the issues behind the headlines that are in the news all the time. So please join me for my new podcast, Free Expression, with Jerry Baker at The Wall Street Journal. We're very much looking forward to really having some fascinating conversations, and I very much hope you'll join us.